U.S. military leaders say they're bracing for more possible attacks from the Islamic State as they continue to withdraw from Afghanistan. Yesterday, a suicide bomber near Kabul airport killed more than 100 people, including 13 American service members. A regional offshoot of Islamic State claimed responsibility. Hours later, in a speech from the White House, President Biden said justice would be delivered.
To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay.
The U.S. is working to pull out of Afghanistan entirely by this Tuesday, marking an end to the 20-year U.S. deployment. Dalia Fahmy is an associate professor of political science at Long Island University at Brooklyn and author of the book The Rise and Fall of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Future of Political Islam. Dalia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
What was your reaction to the tragic bombing yesterday?
It's horrible. However, it's not surprising. Earlier this week, we saw warnings coming from within the CIA that a bombing was imminent. And yesterday, there were repeated warnings from multiple sources throughout the world that there would be a bombing, probably yesterday. So as tragic as it is, it's not surprising. There are a couple of lessons to be learned here. ISIS-K, or this group, fringe from ISIS, that K standing for Khorasan, the province that they come from, wanted to send two messages. The first one was that the United States, the most powerful military in the world, could not secure the airport. They couldn't secure the airport with the entire world watching. And so ISIS-K wanted to send a signal, not just to the United States that's withdrawing, but also to the Taliban, who are inheriting this state, who are now coming into power, that they are going to face this new dawn of an emboldened ISIS-K. ISIS-K has many defectors from the Taliban, those who actually saw that the Taliban striking a deal with the United States, having conversations and negotiations in Doha, in Qatar, were them turning their back on militancy and jihadism. And so ISIS-K is trying to send a message to the United States and to the Taliban that you couldn't secure this airport and you are here. And the second was that the U.S. made a deal with the Taliban. They did not make a deal with the ISIS. And they're trying to reassert their power. Now, if you recall, President Trump had been for years saying, "We defeated ISIS." What they signaled was that they are not just gone, but they're emboldened inside of Afghanistan, that they were going to reclaim territory. What happened was, for the past 2 years, they didn't have territory. Now they're attempting to reclaim territory. And so this withdrawal signifies a new dawn in Afghanistan, where it's not just the rise of the Taliban coming to power, but the Taliban having to deal with fringe groups from within them, like the Haqqani network, the ISIS and ISIS-K, who want to undermine their power. And so we're going to see a very unstable Afghanistan. And what we do know about instability is that instability, as it did 20 years ago, does not remain in one region, but could have blowbacks throughout the world.
And we talked to you a few months back about your concerns about the Biden administration's plans for withdrawal. We talked to you a couple of years back about the Trump administration's negotiations and plans for a withdrawal. Both presidential candidates in 2020 in favor of withdrawal. Why were you concerned? Why did you want to see some U.S. military presence remain?
When we spoke 2 years ago, when the Trump administration was beginning to sign or beginning to negotiate and ultimately did sign a peace agreement with the Taliban, we spoke and I said, this will undermine the Afghan government. The Afghan government was not part of these negotiations. So imagine the United States is negotiating with the Taliban absent the Afghan government. Of course the government was going to collapse. And we spoke about how it would be undermined, and it was becoming undermined as of 2 years ago. Now, this is actually much worse than I think the average person realizes. The two founders of the Taliban were Mullah Omar and Mullah Bardar. Mullah Omar was killed by the United States a few years ago. Mullah Bardar's arrest was ordered by the head of the CIA to the Pakistani authorities to arrest him. CIA Director William Burns is the one who actually ordered his arrest. On Monday, CIA Director William Burns met face-to-face with Mullah Bardar, the founder of the Taliban, the founder, who is now going to become the president of Afghanistan. And so, I'm sorry, the founder of Al-Qaeda, who is now going to become the president of Afghanistan. And so when the person, CIA Director Burns, who orders his arrest, meets with him on Monday, it signals not just that the Taliban is being recognized and coming into power, but they're actually part of the negotiation process. And so while I was very weary of what was happening 2 years ago, seeing Secretary Pompeo last fall meet with members of the Taliban to actually sign this, H.R. McMaster, President Trump's former national security advisor, said that when Secretary Pompeo met with them and signed this agreement, he essentially signed a surrender to the Taliban. And what's happening is that it was built to undermine essentially the government that the United States had been trying to put into power for the past 20 years. And so when, after 20 years and $3 trillion, the goal of the war was to defeat al-Qaeda and remove the Taliban from power, what we have today is the Taliban coming back into power and hearing from Pentagon officials that al-Qaeda was never defeated. And on top of that, we have an emboldened ISIS. The forces that were in Afghanistan were about 3,000. What does 3,000 mean when we have, for example, in Germany today still troops, and in South Korea and in different parts of the world we've been? These troops signal that the United States was still there and watchful. The removal of these troops signals that the United States is going to be absent. We will have not just a power vacuum, but the physical space that these two terrorist groups had been looking to reinstate, they now have it, the physical space. They had been rendered dormant in cyberspace. Now they actually can reclaim territory.
As we wrap up, Dahlia, there have been calls from Republicans and some Democrats saying, hold on, let's unwithdraw, let's leave troops here. Is that realistic option now that there's not a government that's going to be willing to accept those willingly?
No, because the agreement was based on complete withdrawal. Complete withdrawal on the 31st means that the United States would have to also withdraw the 5,000 troops that are there. The withdrawal of them has to begin tomorrow. And so we have no more time left. There's no more space for negotiation. The past couple of months since this agreement was signed have also been violent, even though no one's been paying attention to them. We're starting to see the Taliban emboldened, Al-Qaeda emboldened, and also the ISIS-K emboldened. And so what we could be actually seeing in this moment of retreat of U.S. power from the region is a level of uncertainty that could lead to the U.S. attempting to secure short-term security interests at the expense of long-term security interests.
Dahlia, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Dahlia Fahmy, Associate Professor of Political Science at Long Island University at Brooklyn, author of the book The Rise and Fall of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Future of Political Islam. We talked to her today about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. More on that topic coming up Monday on Central Time.